Good morning there, folks, or whatever it may be where you are or when you're listening to this podcast. I appreciate you listening. My name is Dane Janis. I'm an enrolled agent with Boundless Tax, Bookkeeping, and Payroll, and we're the sponsors of the Boundless Cash Podcast. I'm glad you're here listening today, and I hope you've listened to our first two episodes, the first one being on how to select a qualified financial services professional, and our second episode on how to select the best online budgeting tools. Today, we're going to talk about something that we specialize in, and that is tax. We're going to talk about some tax tips here in the summertime. Most people don't think of summertime being a time where you even need to think about tax, but we're tax accountants, and we think about tax year-round, unfortunately. Most people are probably going to cringe at the topic of this podcast, but if you hang in there with us and you listen to some of our tax tips, I guarantee that you will be better off come this winter, and that you may receive a bigger refund if you follow some of our tips. So hang on just a second and we'll get started. So this might be a little bit shorter of a podcast than what we normally do, but there's not a whole lot going on in the tax world, as well as the payroll or bookkeeping world for your small businesses. It's the middle of July. Most people aren't thinking about taxes. Most people aren't thinking about the accounting needs of their businesses. It's really a vacation, easy breezy, free time of year. So we don't want to put a huge burden on you here. We just want to give you some tips that may help you come tax time. So there's a lot of things that you can do in the summertime that create some tax advantages for you, and we want to tell you about those. So I'm going to get right into it. One of the big things that can create a tax advantage for you that a lot of people have done so far this year, a lot of people I know have done so far this year, is get married. First of all, if you got married, congratulations to you. That's awesome. Newlyweds have some things that they need to kind of check off before tax time comes in the next year here in 2020. So they should report any name changes to the Social Security Administration. This isn't directly an IRS thing. This isn't directly tax related as far as that goes, but you need to report your name change to the Social Security Administration. What this does is it talks to all the other government agencies, including the IRS, and says, hey, this person had a name change. What you need to do this, which most people don't know how to do, is when you get married, take your marriage certificate, take your old Social Security card, take a photo identification to your local Social Security office. Chances are there's one around you. It might not be as close as you think. It might not be as close as you want it to be, but you have to go in person. They're usually only open during regular business hours, Monday through Friday. I know that sucks as well, but what you need to do is you need to go in person and you need to state that you've had a name change. They will walk you through the paperwork to fill out. They will ask you for your existing documentation, and then they will mail you a new Social Security card in a few weeks. Now, the reason I say to do this now and not wait is because there is an extended amount of processing time involved in this. So do it as soon as you get married so that come tax time, you're not waiting for a new Social Security card. And even once you get that Social Security card, there's more processing time until the Social Security Administration provides that information to an agency like the IRS. So definitely report that name change as soon as it happens. Then, if you're moving, if you've bought a new home, congratulations on that as well. We'll get into the perks of buying a new home in a moment. But report any address changes. First people you want to report these address changes to are the United States Postal Service, the post office. Obviously, you want to keep getting your mail. For tax, this is incredibly important because you want to get your tax documentation at the end of the year. What you can do it online as well. The website is, I believe, USPS.com, UnitedStatesPostalService.com. USPS is the abbreviation. And you can go on there and file a forwarding request that says, this is my old address, this is my new address. Forward all the mail from my old address that has my name on it to my new address. I believe the initial period is for 6 months, but you can extend it up to a year. So if you've moved recently, you could get your mail that is sent to your old address to your new address for the next year. This is incredibly important because most people forget to tell someone that they moved. Most people forget to tell past employers that they've moved. So employers that you don't necessarily work for anymore, but you've worked for in the past 7 months of 2019 here, are going to send your W-2 at the end of the year to your old address. So it's important that you can still get your hands on it, otherwise you're gonna have a big headache come tax time. This also informs the IRS and other government agencies that you have moved as well. So it's kind of a talking service, so to speak, between the different government agencies. Also, inform your current employer that you moved, because they're going to send you tax documentation and all kinds of other stuff as well. So they need to know your current address, especially if you live in a state with a local tax. We're based in Pennsylvania. We have a fairly difficult local tax system, difficult to understand, I should say. So if you move, it can change your withholding for local tax purposes. So definitely tell your current employer of those intentions to move, or, you know, your new address if you've already have moved. So I briefly talked about if you bought a house. If you bought a house, that's another reason for celebration. Congratulations on doing that. If you bought a house, know that come tax time, you should be expecting a mortgage interest statement. That'll tell you how much interest you've paid on your mortgage. Obviously, if you know how mortgages work, in the beginning of home ownership is when you pay the most interest on your mortgage. You don't see those payments, those expensive mortgage payments, go as far as you want them to, because most of the amount that you're paying every month is interest. At least for, you know, if you have a 30-year mortgage, at year 15 is when it kind of balances out and breaks even. Then you start paying more on your actual house for the last 15 years than you do in interest. But for those of us that have just bought our house, that is mostly interest, which in that sense is a good thing, because for tax purposes, you can deduct your mortgage interest. Now, the caveat to this is that you must itemize your deductions. With the increase in the standard deduction from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the standard deduction has risen quite a bit, and less people are itemizing than ever. So you might not get a chance to claim this mortgage interest, but if you have a tax professional that files your taxes for you, ask them which is more advantageous. Most tax professionals, Boundless included, should be able to run a standard versus itemized deductions comparison come tax time and tell you which one you should pick. If you pay a lot of mortgage interest and you pay a lot of real estate taxes and you have state and local tax deduction and you pay a lot of tax prep fees, you donate a lot of items to charity, all of those are itemized deductions, and all of those would push you into itemizing instead of taking your standard deduction. Any tax professional will be able to compare this for you, but just watch out if you do your taxes yourself. This may be the year, especially with buying a home, that you want to start having a tax professional look at your taxes, because we can run these comparisons kind of lickety-split, and they're a lot harder to run on your own. Most professional tax software has the capability to do this pretty quickly, whereas, you know, your TurboTax, your H&R Block at Home, those types of software that allow you to self-file, doesn't have this capability as much, or it's a capability that you need to pony up the dough for, so to speak. So, our next topic. What about if you got a summer job? Great. That's awesome. Congrats on getting that summer job. Now, are you an employee or are you an independent contractor? If you're an independent contractor, this next section really isn't for you. If you're an employee, make sure your employer is doing your payroll correctly. Now, I realize that you're not going to know if they're doing it correctly or not, but I'm going to give you some tips, okay? If you're doing something that is a kind of a smaller little part-time summer job, something that maybe, you know, a son or daughter of yours is doing, say they're scooping ice cream down at the ice cream parlor, those types of employers, even though it's seasonal and even though it's part-time and it's more of a, you know, kind of a fun job, so to speak, those employers still need to do payroll just like anyone else. So they need to withhold those FICA taxes, the Social Security and the Medicare taxes, from part-time and seasonal workers' paychecks. Now, sometimes part-time and seasonal workers, especially those who have those more fun jobs, 16, 17-year-olds that work in, you know, ice cream parlors, things like that, They might not earn enough in one pay period to meet the federal income tax filing threshold, and that's okay. That's something that's up to the business owners and the payroll processors for those businesses to determine. But they need to pay into Social Security and Medicare, into FICA, even if they have no federal income tax liability. This also applies to state income taxes most of the time and to local income taxes most of the time. So just be sure to look at a pay stub here and there to make sure that all the taxes are being withheld correctly. And it's okay if you see a zero in that federal income tax. That just means that they're not earning enough to have the federal income tax withheld. They should still receive a Form W-2 at the end of the year to show the wages that they earned and show the taxes that were withheld. If you're an independent contractor, this doesn't really change. You just get paid. You should still get a 1099 miscellaneous at the end of the year, or a 1099 MISC that shows the wages that you were paid for non-employee compensation. While we're on that topic, worker classification matters. So make sure your employer is classifying you correctly. Boundless can help with this. So if you reach out to us at boundlesstax.com, we have professionals that are always available to live chat with you. We can tell you for free if you are an employee or if you're an independent contractor. Talk to your employer about this first as well, because they've probably done their research on how to classify you. But essentially, if they govern everything you do while you're at work, if they tell you how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, why you're doing it, etc., 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 you're an employee. If you're more on your own and you're, you know, a contractor that's out in the field, or you're a Uber driver or people like that, you're probably an independent contractor. Us accountants are included in that independent contractor field as well, because we might do the same services for 75 clients. We're not an employee of those clients. We just provide them with a service. Another topic along these lines is something that we preach and that the IRS preaches all the time. At least once a year, check your withholding. Check your withholding if you receive a paycheck. What this is your rate that federal income tax is being withheld on. What this means is, if you don't have the correct amount of federal income tax being withheld, either people do this purposely to get a huge refund at the end of the year, or if you're being under withheld, you're going to get a huge tax bill at the end of the year. You can prevent this. All income taxes are, when you file your Form 1040 at the end of the year, all that it's saying is you've either paid too much in and we're going to give you the amount that you paid extra back, or you didn't pay enough into taxes and you need to pay us some more. Most people, although they understand this, don't really, in our way of thinking, that a refund is really just a refund. It's not, you know, this imaginary money that gets pulled out of nowhere. It's saying, you know, you owed $4,000 in taxes, but you gave us $6,000, so we're giving you $2,000 back. Well, that means that you just gave a $2,000 loan to the federal government, to the IRS, with no interest on it. If you put that $2,000 into a savings account, you could have earned up to 2.5% interest on that. So it really is a waste. You really want your taxes to be as close to zero as possible. Some people prefer to get that big refund, but what I tell you is put the extra money in savings and earn some interest on it. Why on earth would you give a interest-free loan to the federal government? Nobody wants to do that, and millions upon millions of people do it every single year. So, a little off topic there, but check your withholding out of your paycheck. There's two ways you can do this. First way, you can go to Google, search IRS withholding calculator. It's IRS withholding calculator. It's right on the IRS.gov website. It'll ask you some information from a couple pay stubs. It'll ask about your pay stubs. If you're married, it'll ask about your spouse's pay stubs. It'll ask if you have more than one job. And it'll ask about some of the meatier deductions that you take, like student loan interest, deductions like that, that will affect your tax return. And then at the end, it will spit out an exemption number that says you should claim two exemptions, let's say, for example. Then you need to take that to your employer and say, I need to change my W-4. If you don't know what a Form W-4 is, you probably haven't filled one out since you started with your employer, which means that you definitely need to do a paycheck checkup and check your withholding. So The second way that you can do this is come to us here at Boundless Tax. Go to boundlesstax.com, live chat with a tax pro. This is a free service that we provide because we realize that some of you might not want to do this yourselves, and sometimes the IRS withholding calculator can be confusing. So we will do this for you free of charge, completely, you know, no strings attached. Just want to get everybody to their right withholding point. Once again, once you do this and it spits out that exemptions number, you need to update your Form W-4 with your employer. This is not a form that you or your employer send into the IRS. It's for your employer's records only. I think that's going to be it for this episode of Boundless Cash. We hope you had fun listening, learning some quick tax tips. If you need any information, any additional information on any of these tax tips, we encourage you to come see us at Boundless Tax. It's www.boundlesstax.com. And from our website, you can directly live chat with a tax professional that'll help you out with any of the additional information needed on any of the tax tips we provided in this podcast. We're going to post some links in the description as well, so you're not left hanging. Next time, we'll be back with you next Monday, and we'll talk about a different topic then. So I hope you're having fun listening to our little podcast here, and we hope to see you back in a week. Have a great week. We'll see you again next Monday.